to hear if you can hear me properly.
Yeah, it's working. For the purposes of this interview, can you please tell me your name and spell your last name, please?
My name is Ellen Helga Murfin. My last name is spelled Murfin.
And this interview is taking place at the at your house?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Okay, can you tell me a little bit about your life, please?
Well, I suppose, basically, I lived in Austria till I was 6. And then with the problems of Hitler rising, he actually did start to rise when I was born in 1933, which was the reason why I was given my first name Ellen, in case we had to leave Austria. But they gave me the local sort of name Helga, and it's always stuck. So I'm still Helga, and I never managed to change it, really. I was I lived in a flat in Vienna, and when the problems of Hitler started, we were anxious to get away, and things looked pretty bad, and it looked as if he would be taking over soon. And come to the year 1939, things looked pretty terrible all around, but we had no way of getting away. So we just carried on as things were. Mine was a Jewish family, so we had plenty of problems. Hitler's regime, I should say, I don't know what he actually did himself, but they said that people on the markets were not to sell goods to Jews. We were not to have anything that was nice at all. We had to put up with a lot of things. It was the time coming also, they had to wear a mark and everything else. But my mother didn't look very Jewish, and we did pretty well normally. It wasn't until my sister's 8th birthday, which was in January, that we were all happy in the house, and we had some of the Gestapo coming in to raid it. They saw a box of our oranges and they took that away right away. Anyway, things continued until at one point my mother happened to be looking out of our flat window, and she saw a man running, and they were chasing him. She motioned to him to come round the back, and she hid him in our flat. And when the way was clear, he said, "Well, if there's ever anything I can do for you, I will." And my mother said, "We were all very anxious to get away, but we'd nowhere. And you had to have somewhere. You had to know somebody in England or America or somewhere who would take you in when you got to the other side." And some while later, he came back, and he told us that he'd heard about Mrs. Sutcliffe, actually, who lived in England, and she was prepared to take us. And of course we were pleased. We didn't know how to go, but then we managed to get on a Kinder train. And my sister was 8 and I was 6 then. We got on this train. We left my family, my mother and my grandmother, on the station in Vienna. And my mother was hoping that she would get away in another 6 weeks, and Mrs. Sutcliffe would take her in as well. So anyway, my sister and I went off. We went through this journey. I still remember when we were coming to the Hook of Holland, there was a terrible atmosphere when we heard that the twins were leaving and they were going to be split. But anyway, everybody had to go where they had to go. Anyway, we crossed the crossing to Holland. I was 6, and they said that we each had to go with an older child. I said, "My sister's a big child," which they didn't seem to agree with, but I managed to stay with her on the boat. It was all very confusing. Anyway, we got to England, and then this Mrs. Sutcliffe's maid came to meet us. She was a Danish girl, and she took us to her place. Things were very strange, but we just had to go. We had to go where we had to go. And in the the 6 weeks later, my mother did manage to arrive. Remarkably, she'd received the letters from us, which when I look back, I think it was a wonder, but she did, she got the letters. My sister helped me to write letters as well. I didn't have a clue what to say at that age. But anyway, my mother came, but things didn't work out very well. My mother had never done housework in her life, and she wasn't very satisfactory. She was supposed to be helping in the house. But all round, my mother had to move off. And we actually moved 6 times in the next 6 months. We went to Bognor, we went to Tunbridge Wells. Oh, eventually, we landed up in a home that was set up for youngsters. I still couldn't speak English. I still found it all terribly difficult. But then at that time it was that there was somebody in the Christian communities looking for homes, anybody that would look after some of these children, because there was such a lot in England then that I didn't know what to do with. The homes were full. And we both went to Bristol then. My sister went to one family, I went to another. I was horrified, but they were a very nice family and they looked after me, and I had to start school, and I still couldn't speak English, and I had a very hard time at school with the children. They asked me where I'd come from, and I said Austria, and they said, is that Australia? And I said, no. I said, Austria, next to Germany. They said, oh, you're German. You're part of the enemy. I didn't have a time of it for a while. Anyway, you have to get over these problems, and the people that looked after me were very kind to me, and I stayed with them then all through the war. In the meanwhile, a lot of children were evacuated, but it wasn't so bad in Bristol. And when my mother had been over there, been in England 4 years, she managed to get a flat, and my sister and I got back with her. And she had to work all day, because she had learnt, just before she went to England, she learnt to make corsets and bras, and as you couldn't get things easily in England, well, during the war, she managed to make enough to live on. And
what about the rationing? What was the rationing like?
Well, the rationing was not too bad, but you had to make do. You only got 2 ounces of butter a week each, and you shared it out. Well, we didn't share it out when I was in Bristol. When we went to my mother, we shared it out. The lady who looked after me, she used to cream up a bit of butter and milk and make it go a lot further. She also, like a lot of people, they had to be careful. You could only get a small amount of meat, and she used to get a rabbit when she could. There was a dairy not so far away, and she got a rabbit now and again, which made a good meal. She got a few eggs. The cheese was rationed too, which was difficult. And they got hold of some Spam. I think it was an American thing, a cold meat that we cut up. I think they did ration the corned beef. You got 2 ounces of corned beef or something, but because I never watched how it all went, but we did manage. But the last 2 years of the war, because I was with my mother in London, but I used to go back to Bristol. In fact, at one point when the Blitz were on in London, the school all said to get away where you can, and we went back to Bristol for a while, and we went back to London after. And it had been terrible bombing all round, but we were very well blessed. Our house, we were living in Osborne House in Paddington, The Osborne House had 8 flats, and that was still standing. The houses all round it were bombed. It's amazing, really. But we got back to normal life again, and gradually they built things up around us. We went back to school. Of course, I had lived separately. My sister was in a different area, but she was in Bristol, and we went to the same church. We used to see her at Sunday school, the start, and then in the church. But we carried on the war. Of course, I was 12 when the war ended, and there was still sweet rationing and quite a lot of different things. Even after the war ended, there was a shortage of bread, but we seemed to manage with enough. There were always potatoes. The bread during the war was all rather coarse. There was no white bread, but I didn't mind that. I didn't like white bread anyway. Never had it till I went to England, and I didn't have it then if I could help it. But some people really found the bread very coarse. I don't know what it was made, but English couldn't. I don't think they ever could grind flour well, what grew in England. Well, we didn't starve. We all managed, and we were well blessed.
Did you ever see the enemy firsthand, like up close?
No.
Did any of your family help with the war effort?
Well, not really. There's no way, really. The people I stayed with, the Christians, were conscientious objectors, and they didn't go to war. Some of them had to go to prison, but refused to go to war. There were quite a lot. I think they were found themselves together with Jehovah's Witnesses and some of the others that wouldn't go to war. But most of them afterwards, they worked on the land, or worked with farms, did milk rounds and all that sort of thing. But I never had anything to do with the soldiers or any of the fighting, no. We used to go, when I was in London, we used to go into the basement during the air raids, which was very uncomfortable, but they thought it was safer than staying in the flats. We were well blessed, but of course our house was never hit. It was a wonder, because Paddington was very badly bombed.
Did you manage to keep in touch with any of your Austrian friends?
My mother did keep in touch with some. Oh, my grandmother, they'd hoped to bring over, but then we heard that she'd been taken by the Gestapo and she was gassed in a gas chamber. I was very sad. She was only 60. So we never saw her after we left, and none of our close friends. My father went to America anyway. He left us. Remarkably, somehow, on the Jewish grapevine, my mother managed to keep touch, and he did actually help support us during the war, sent money from America, which I never knew about until very much later, because I didn't think she would ever have got anything from him. But somehow people got together, and there was quite a big Jewish community in London, which my mother kept in touch with. In fact, while we were away back in Bristol during the Blitz, my mother had a stroke, and she managed she managed to go and stay with somebody that she'd helped coming over, so she had some help there. But she came back afterwards. She recovered, apart from her face was disfigured. Strangely enough, up until she was in her late 80s, and she went into her 90s, and her face went back to normal. Remarkably, she lived to 94. My sister lived to 69. She died of cancer. And of course, I'm still thankfully well blessed and alive and well.
Do you think the youth of today would understand what you've been through?
Not very easily, no. They wouldn't have much idea. But I do know, I know a lot of people have read about the war and felt very concerned about people. But no, it was a very strange experience. But I'll say this, that all through the war people did help each other. I think when you've got trouble, the local people all do tend to help each other more. Of course, there were some got stuff on the black markets, and some people did sort of live better, but most of us had to just manage. But from what I've heard since, actually a lot of people were healthier during the war because there was a great shortage of sugar. You only got, I don't know how much it was, not enough to make jam or anything like people did normally do, what people do now, but not so much. But you had to be, you used golden syrup and stuff to just to sweeten a pie or anything, and it was a problem to get the fats to make cakes and things. But we didn't starve. I don't think anyone starved during the war. Well, not to, that I know of. A lot of people had it a lot harder than we did, I know. But the rationing was a good thing. It did keep enough for everybody to manage. Children got a few sweets every week or a bit of chocolate or something, so it wasn't too bad.
After the war, how did you cope? I mean, like, how did you, you know, deal with things after the war was over?
I don't know what you dealt with things any more than normal people. You went through with a thing ingrained with you that you never wasted anything, always careful. People I know have gone through the war, always careful what they cook and don't throw much away. I hear a lot of people throw a lot of the food away these days, but something that anybody's gone through a war, you never throw away anything good. You just feel more concerned and thankful for what you have got.
Thank you.